Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1968. The topic is mindset, and the title is How to Approach Nutrition and Training When Feeling Overwhelmed. So one of my current clients, they have just a lot going on with work. They're in meetings all day and doing extra stuff after work. They're super stressed. They're going through a transition from being active and eating quote-unquote healthy, but they weren't really tracking what they were doing food-wise, and their training was okay, but it was kind of wasn't just as intense or as structured as it has been in the past month. So they had a new goal that they wanted to achieve. It included getting stronger. They want to improve muscle shape. They want to lose body fat. They in order to do that, they're going to need to be more strict and more adherent with their nutrition, more consistent, basically. Then the training has to have a little more structure and intensity to it in order for them to get stronger. Some downsides they've run into in the past month is due to not having eaten priorly as consistent, they have some like just nagging annoyances, some muscular tightnesses that are coming into play when now trying to move with specific lifts. For example, say bench press. They want to get into a powerlifting meet. Their bench press requires that they have good upper back bracing, where you pull and squeeze your upper back together, that we would hope would allow for their shoulders to be rotated back and kind of pinned back. Whereas if they've been sitting on a computer 10, 12 hours a day, and they haven't been doing corrective postural therapies, their shoulders are going to be rolled forward and pulled inward. So the bench press would likely start to cause front shoulder pain, maybe some elbow issues, and we're building that into the corrective therapy at the beginning of the workouts. However, due to the shortened time frame, they didn't give themselves a lot of time to get ready for the powerlifting meet. They have to start getting back into benching, and they're starting to run into some of those annoyances. Running into some tight hamstrings, which is due to hip musculature being off. They have tight hip flexors from sitting all the time. They're probably going to have tight adductors as well. Those muscles being tight are going to pull and rotate the hips forward. That's going to cause an extension of the hamstring connection. That's going to cause the hamstrings to feel tight. So they're working through, well, their hope and their intent and their goal would be is to work through those issues as they also work on correcting technique in squat, bench, and deadlift, as they would then also work on getting stronger. So they have to kind of rehab some issues. They want to build consistency in the main lifts, but they have to get them heavy pretty quickly in order to get ready for the powerlifting meet. They have to do that while trying to improve their nutrition because their calories weren't consistent enough, the protein wasn't consistent enough, that they're really not coming into this situation in an optimal health. So there's a lot going on there, a lot to unpack. They're rightfully and reasonably overwhelmed, a little overwhelmed. And we were talking about ways in which they could possibly simplify the process. With their calories and protein, the goal would be to track those numbers each day and have a good idea of what our calories and protein are to make sure we're hitting a proper window of calories. We have enough, but not too much. And then at least a good minimum of protein, making sure we're getting a baseline in. They're struggling to be able to track their food every day in a tracking app. And that's becoming overwhelming. It's actually becoming a little bit frustrating as well to feel like they have to do that every day. They're feeling frustrated and overwhelmed with the demands of regular life, plus adding the demands of having to track their food. Then also with training, the movement therapies, corrective therapies, they involve exercises that are abnormal or and or new for this person. So they're having to learn these movements whenever they have very short amount of time, maybe, you know, 60 minutes to get in, get out in their workouts. And they're feeling flustered and frustrated with not feeling certain if they're doing new movements correctly. So they really would like to just stay with movements that they already know. The challenge to that is, though, is they might have an extensive history of training, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the technique for the movements are correct, and it doesn't mean that what they know is of proper balance for what we need them to do. So there is definitely some leeway that you can do is, okay, in common exercises, for example, the hamstrings, if they know how to do a basic RDL, you just do basic RDLs. So you don't need to make that fancy. However, when we're looking at postural therapies, we do want to include those. Even if the person does have to, you know, watch a YouTube tutorial, even if they have to kind of fudge through it and kind of figure out what they're maybe doing right or wrong for a couple of weeks, those are worth the efforts. So we can pull off or back off on the new exercise confusion and effort in categories that we know that they have enough history of knowledge in. But with certain movements, certain therapies, we do need to invest that energy. So they're really struggling. And in our recent conversation that we had, I shared some information that I thought would be helpful to share in today's podcast. Now, the majority of this information was actually shared in the initial information that I would send to clients. However, you know, with their busy schedule, I'm not sure if they were able to read through everything, and they just kind of got started. And I think if they would have been able to read through everything, they would have already gotten some of these lessons and ways of how to kind of adjust the adherence, say difficulty or the adherence demand. There are ways to make it a little bit easier. So that's what I wanted to present in today's podcast was how do you approach nutrition and training when you feel overwhelmed, when you don't have, you know, an unlimited amount of time, you don't have an unlimited amount of energy. What do we do in those situations? Typically, people just default to doing whatever the hell they were doing. So their nutrition becomes whatever it was before. Since they're overwhelmed, like for example, with this client, if they're overwhelmed with work, they go back to eating whatever they used to eat. If they skipped breakfast before, they're going to skip breakfast again. If they skipped lunch before, they're going to skip lunch again. If they underate during the day and overate at night, they're going to do the exact same thing again. So people tend to default to, let me go back to what I knew. What they kind of fail to realize is what they did before might be known, but so is the outcome. The outcome led to something you didn't want, which is why we had thought about trying to make it an improvement and a change, but we then feel overwhelmed with that improvement and change. Then we revert back to the old crap that got us the old results that we didn't like in the first place. So how do we find somewhere in the middle, right? And that's what I want to share in today's podcast. So when we think about nutrition when we're busy, when we're faced with a busy schedule that makes tracking food in a app, makes that feel overwhelming, it makes it feel challenging, there are three lessons or three kind of reminders that I wanted this client to focus on. Number one was to eat early. What they were doing before was they would undereat during the day, overeat at night. They would accumulate small little joint annoyances in their training, weren't making great progress in their training because they trained in the morning. Then they had lower energy, they had some sleep issues, and just nothing was seeming to work correctly for them. However, they have seen in even just the first month of us working together that getting more food earlier in the day actually improved how they felt. And that was a big revelation for them. They really liked that idea. And they liked the impact of it. So I reminded them to eat early. Try to eat something within the first 2 hours of the day. And that helps create a more balanced nutrient timing throughout the day. Meaning, we're going to end up getting more calories in the beginning and middle of the day than just having them all at the end of the day. So I reminded her to eat early, as she already saw in less than 4 weeks how big of a difference that made. So I'm encouraging her to keep that going. The second tip we have is to aim for 3 meals. If we aim for at least 3 meals a day, one we know is going to be within the first 2 hours of being awake. The other one is hopefully somewhere in the middle of the day. And then the other meal would be at the end of the day. That helps us get a better balance of calorie and protein intake throughout the day. That helps reduce body fat accumulation. It improves body fat loss, actually. And it improves our daily energy, our focus, and improves our workout performance and adaptations, the results we get from our training. So Tip number one was to eat early. Tip number two is to aim for at least three meals. Tip number three is to hydrate. To be mindful to drink fluids either at the time of the meals or to drink between meals. And that just depends on individual kind of digestive preferences. Some people, they get digestive issues when they drink with meals. Some people actually need to drink with meals in order for their food to digest properly. So it kind of depends on what your individual preference is. But that actually ensures better digestion throughout the day. We don't feel as bloated. And you can actually feel a little more hungry, which helps you get in at least the three meals a day that you need. It helps improve energy levels. And overall, you're going to have less tight musculature as well. Our muscles can be very tight from being dehydrated. So if she's experiencing tight muscles already, then we know that hydration is of even greater importance. So when we think about nutrition when busy, those would be three tips that would be applicable to anybody listening. Eat early, aim for at least three meals a day, and hydrate. Be mindful of consuming fluid. Now, if you're wondering how much should you consume, 0.5 ounces per pound of body weight. Basically half your body weight in ounces. There you go. So 0.5 your body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you're looking for 100 ounces. Now, I said it confusingly there at first, but you want half your body weight in ounces of fluid, and that can be any fluid. If you want to count coffee, water, energy drinks, diet drinks, whatever it might be. Obviously, the less chemicals involved, probably the better. But we can count really any fluid. And you would want to aim for at least half your body weight in ounces. Now, if you're not even getting close to that, that's fine. You know, just try to improve from wherever you are. But if you're looking for a number to aim towards, that would be kind of a baseline number. Now, the next section I gave her was how to make tracking your food easier. We do not need to track every single day, every single meal, every single food in a nutrition tracking app. It's helpful in cases when I get to work with clients and they want daily feedback. I have to be able to see something to give them feedback each day. But if they're doing well, there are easier ways for us to do this. So the first way is 6-hour time blocks. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you've probably heard me already talk about this. But what we'd like to do is, as she would be more able to give attention to her foods. So the first three tips are just baseline. Eat early, aim for three meals a day, hydrate. But then if you can, if you have the capacity, we would think of tracking our food in 6-hour segments of the day. It can be challenging to track our food over 24 hours. When you have a very busy life, in the evening, it can be very hard to remember what the hell you had for breakfast. It was just, 8 hours ago, but it can be very hard to remember. The other aspect is our body doesn't use food only per 24 hours. It uses it every minute of the day. So it's better to eat more often during the day, especially more when we're busy, less when we're less busy. That reduces surpluses and deficits. That can help maintain a leaner physique and or help facilitate fat loss a little bit easier than lumping all of our food into one section of the day. Now, you can have weight change diets that work very well by lumping all your food into one section of the day. Intermittent fasting would be an example. But it has to be very controlled. It has to be very precise. So if we're looking at a situation in which we are trying not to have to be that precise, we're trying to be able to kind of be better just gauge what we're doing through the day, not having to track everything, not having to count every nuance, then we can track things in 6-hour sections. Typically, people will sleep for 6 to 8 hours a day. They're going to be awake for 16 to 18 hours. So if we think of 6-hour sections, that's going to cover, for most people, that'll cover their whole day. You'll have 3 6-hour sections. In the first 6 hours, we would aim for a third of our calories and protein. In the second 6 hours, we want a third of our calories and protein. The final 6 hours, we want the final one third of our calories and protein. So for this client, for her calorie targets and her protein targets, she wants roughly about 600 calories and 50 grams of protein per 6 hours. I said that can be accomplished in one meal or more, however you prefer, but you would track what you eat for just 6 hours at a time. And that makes the process a lot easier. So really, in 6 hours, you might have one or two meals. You only have to count for that one or two meals. Did I get to 600 calories? Did I get to 50 grams of protein? If that's a yes, then you move on to the next 6 hours and that's it. So you only have to really manage one to two meals at a time. And then you know for sure that you're on track. Now, do you have to put that in a tracking app in order to know that that's exactly what you had? Absolutely not. One of the techniques that we use are repeating meals. That's the second tip under the how to make tracking easier. The first tip was to use 6 hour time blocks. The second tip is repeating meals. Once you look up the macros for one specific meal, whether it's through an app or you use the food labels on the foods you're eating, maybe even do a quick Google search of the foods, you now know the macros of that meal. And therefore, you don't have to look them up again. So if you eat that meal again, it's just the exact same numbers it was last time. So you don't have to look that back up. You know exactly what it is. This becomes helpful because if we create, say, 2 to 3 meal options per meal category, let's just say you're looking at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you get 2 to 3 options for breakfast, 2 to 3 options for lunch, 2 to 3 options for dinner, then really you only have to look up each option once. Once you know the values of each option, you would then know, okay, as long as I pick one of these options, I'm fine. I don't even have to track anything. I already know it's going to be, for her, 600 calories and 50 grams of protein. She already knows if I do, okay, in the morning, if I eat this breakfast and this mid-morning snack, done. Don't have to count anything. Just counted it once. She knew what it equaled, and now she just eats those same foods again. So she doesn't have to actually track her food every day. If she's feeling the pressure of, hey, I'm so busy at work, I have so much going on, I can't possibly be tracking every day. Don't. You don't have to. That's totally fine. So in my phone, for example, I have common meals that I consume. I already know the calories and protein per meal, and I just add that up throughout the day. So for example, one of the things I'm currently having is orange juice, Greek yogurt, then I'll mix in vanilla protein powder. So the Greek yogurt, I think it's fat-free Greek yogurt. It's unflavored. It's just plain, like whatever normal Greek yogurt tastes like. So orange juice, Greek yogurt, and vanilla protein. The orange juice, I only consume enough to have about 100 calories from that. Then the remaining calories come from the Greek yogurt and the protein powder. So it equals out to about 500 calories with 65 grams of protein. So I know every time I have that meal, it's 500 calories, 65 grams of protein. I know that. I have it memorized, but I also can just put it in my phone. I also have a meal where I'll have 2 cans of tuna and a microwavable package of rice. So I know exactly what that equals. And that includes even like a dressing that I like to have on it. So that one is 700 calories with 60 grams of protein. So by the way, I eat about 3,500 to 4,000 calories a day. So my meal sizes are going to be quite large. But I'll have that. I know my evening meal, I have a pound of chicken breast and a microwavable package of rice. That's 1,250, so 1,250 calories, and ends up being 120 grams of protein. So again, very large meal portions, but I already know exactly what those meals are. So when I track my food per day, I don't have to put it in a tracking app. I actually just use the notes function on my phone. And if I have that shake, I add 500 calories and 65 grams of protein. If I have the tuna, I add 700 calories, 60 grams of protein. I know exactly what to do, and I just add when I have those exact meals. Anytime I eat something other than what my normal meals are, I'll do a quick Google search on the individual food items. I might not know every single thing, you know, if I'm eating out of the restaurant and I can't find the restaurant menu online, or if I'm hodgepodging some random stuff together at the house. I just get ballpark it. I get kind of close. A typical calorie range for me is actually a 400 calorie range per day. So I can be anywhere within a 400 calorie range. So if I'm, 50 calories off here, 100 calories off there, but I'm tracking and I'm pretty consistent with what I do every day, I'm going to be close enough, consistent enough to get really good results. So repeating meals is a great way to avoid having to track your foods in an app. So if you're struggling to track your foods, Just track 6 hours at a time, so only tracking one or two meals at a time. And use repeating options. Look them up once. You know if they're in your macros and they have the right calories, right protein, you know the right portion sizes. And then if you repeat that meal, you don't ever have to put it in an app again. So those are some tips on how to make tracking easier. So when you think about nutrition, the first tips were to eat early, aim for at least three meals, and hydrate. If we want to track our food and have a little bit of, you know, better consistency, better awareness of what's going on, we only have to track per 6 hour time block, and you would want to repeat meals so that way you don't have to look up new options and new items and look up new numbers every meal every day. So those are very helpful. Now, when we look at training, one of the ways that I like to make training easier, especially in this situation for this type of client, is to write templates. So one of the things she said was she wanted the training to be simple. She wanted to have exercises that she already knew. Well, I don't know what she already knows. So I can't read her mind and know what exercises she does or doesn't know. So one of the ways I can help with that, whenever I hear that, whenever somebody would say that, is I just want to do what I know. And I'll say, okay, well, how about I write your workouts with categories involved? So for example, I might want her, if she wants to have like a squat day, I would say, okay, after squats, do something that's a hinge, something that works your hamstrings and glutes. And if you can, it would be great to have that be unilateral. So for squatting, we're doing kind of like an uprighted torso knee bend. It's more of like a knee bending focus. Think of step ups, think of lunges, things where the torso stays mostly upright. That's going to focus a little bit of different musculature in the lower body as compared to something where you're hinging at the hips, where the knee angle doesn't change much. The majority of the angular change comes at the hip joint. And that would be, you know, typically deadlifts, stiff leg deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts. So usually in lower body workouts, we want to address both of those. So if we have a squat day where the person's going to be mostly uprighted torso, the movement we want to do after that, the accessory movement, we would want to do is a hinge focus. So if I wrote in that I wanted her to do, you know, single leg, like, well, let's say split stance RDLs. And for her, she found that a little confusing because it was confusing as to which foot goes in the front and which foot do I put my weight on. So she felt a little overwhelmed with that exercise. Then substitute that. Put in any other RDL that you want. Anything that you know that's an RDL or stiff leg deadlift or anything that's a hinge. So I wrote for her specific exercises, but I also gave her the structure, just the categorical structure for the workout. So she can plug in movements that she knows that are similar to the ones if she feels overwhelmed or feels uncertain with some of the more specific options that I provided. So that's a great way to make training feel a little easier when you're overwhelmed. And this is helpful, for example, say your program calls for barbell squats, but you find barbell squats to be a little intimidating. There's something you have to kind of like be ramped up for, you have to be ready for. It's a little nerve-wracking. Well, if you're already stressed, and especially let's say you're super busy and you have less time than usual, you won't want to get into this crazy intense lift and or have to go through all the warm-ups and the setup and all this stuff. So you might just substitute with, you know, some goblet hold alternating reverse lunges. Good enough. You know, it crosses it off for the day, gets you moving, you bent your knees, you worked the muscles. It was a lot less intense, less overwhelming, and you got something in. So that would be a nice option, is when we see specific exercises that we're uncertain of, or we see a specific exercise and we're like, I don't want to take the time to set that up, or I'm just too nervous for that today, I'm already too overwhelmed. We would substitute those out. So having workout templates can help. The second tip was, in our workouts that I write for clients, I include corrective therapy. So one of the certifications I have is corrective therapist, corrective exercise therapist through NASM, I believe. I forget the organization. But it's essentially a set of knowledge in which you can help people exercise in a way that improves their mobility rather than actually beating the crap out of them with weights. And that's often what people want, is they want to get stronger, they want to get bigger muscles, but they want to be more mobile. So having corrective therapies are extremely helpful, not only for improving mobility, but also for just establishing a decent baseline of mobility. A lot of people come into training with, like we said, forward and inwardly rotated shoulders, tight hip flexors. They might have underdeveloped glutes. So there's going to be maybe a weak core. Maybe their abs are really weak, so therefore they experience a lot of lower back pain. So I want to be able to, in the program, be able to correct those issues as we also try to work on bigger, larger movements. So corrective therapy movements are actually included in the beginning of every one of my clients' workouts. Now, they may or may not know that, but that's exactly what's in every single workout. And the reason why is I want them to be healthier from our training. It doesn't do me any good. I don't feel good if I make somebody super strong, but they're really crazy tight and they get injured. I don't want that. I don't want people getting injured. I want them to live healthy, happy, long lives, full of movement, full of happiness and excitement and, you know, just love of life and being able to move around. So I'm never going to want somebody to get injured. I don't even want to get close to that. I actually want to get as far freaking away from injuries as possible. So we do a lot of corrective therapies at the beginning of the workout. So that is where, for example, for her, we have exercises that address hip muscular tightness balance. So that way we can reduce that hamstring tightness, which actually isn't coming from the hamstrings being tight. It's actually from the hip flexors and the adductors being tight. So it's also can be coming from weaker core muscles, which can contribute to improper positioning of the hip, which can then cause that hamstring tightness. So we have to include that corrective therapy for the hip musculature. But then we also want to address shoulder positioning and posture, so that way it can help reduce any front shoulder pain she has or any elbow pain she might be having. So this is something where good physical therapists will be able to help you with exercises that address the root of the cause, not like, so for example, somebody has elbow tendonitis and they recently started bench pressing. It's not your elbow, it's your shoulder. There's terms called upstream and downstream in physical therapy type work, where often the joint that we're having trouble at, you would want to look at the joint above and below that anatomically and make sure that they're in healthy positions and healthy mobility, because if they're off, that could be causing the issue at the next joint. So if somebody's having elbow pain, it would not be unlikely, it's actually probably really likely, that the issue is actually coming from their shoulder, not their elbow. So we want to include corrective therapies into our workout warm-ups. This is especially important when we're overwhelmed, because our food is probably not the best, our hydration is probably not the best, even though we're trying. We're not super precise. We're trying the best we can, but it's going to be a little off. Maybe your sleep is off. Your stress is off. You're just not coming into each workout with this perfectly healthy, wonderful, amazing, fully movement body. The body's beat up, it's tired, it's tight. So having corrective therapies at the beginning of the workout is extremely helpful. So for her, I included in the workout templates categorically the therapies that she should focus on. Then the third tip for how we can make training more simple when we're overwhelmed is to allow ourselves, and to even recognize that we need to, adjust our training in accordance with our nutrition, and you could also like expand on that in accordance with our stress. So for her, I said we can modify the volume and intensity of your workouts in accordance with your nutrition. If your calories and protein have been random and or consistent, therapies in workouts will not produce positive long-term outcomes, as there will not be sufficient protein to repair and heal the tissues. Insufficient protein consistency can be related to muscular tightnesses and can be why, even if you stretch a muscle for multiple days or weeks, it doesn't ever seem to loosen. Or if you have an issue such as tennis elbow or pain in your elbow, why that just continues to flare up all the time. Even if you took a week or two off training, the first workout back, boom, it flares up. And that could be because while you were taking time away from training, if you didn't have sufficient protein, if you didn't have sufficient calories, you weren't getting sufficient repair, recovery. You weren't getting, anti-inflammatory type property benefits. We just weren't healing. We weren't healing the tissue. So that can be a reason why that even if your training is consistent, you might not be getting great results. And you might start actually accumulating more small injuries and annoyances because if your training, if it supersedes or exceeds your calorie and protein support, you're actually just slowly tearing your body down and making it worse. When we're in the gym, we're tearing down tissues. We're damaging the body. Then when we sleep and we eat food and we hydrate, our body can use the food material to repair the tissues and then actually build them more robustly, can make them stronger. Now they can do that by making them larger and or neurologically can improve like neurological connections and help with that. But in a sense, our nutrition and then the rest and recovery and sleep is what we need in order to actually make tissues better. When we're in the gym, we're tearing them down. So if you're in the gym a lot and you're exercising, but your nutrition is crap, you're not moving forward. You're actually regressing. I work with trainers, unfortunately, all the time who will train their butt off and they're like almost addicted to the training part, but they undereat their calories and their protein all the time. One trainer, I remember they were training about 8 workouts a week. So they had a couple 2-a-days, like some were like these like group fitness classes. Some were weight training sessions. And they're like, I don't look good. I'm not as lean as I want to be. My knees always hurt. But they were getting like 80 to 100 grams of protein a day. And it's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Like, in their mind, they thought, well, I'm in the gym, I'm training, I would be getting stronger. No. The gym creates damage to the body. Our body then responds to that damage and says, holy crap, I got to fix this. I got to fix this so that way we can recover. We can heal. We can keep up. It only fixes it through nutrition. If you don't have the nutritional support, you're damaging yourself in the gym. That's not going to fully heal. Then you're going back in and doing it again, just creating more and more damage that exceeds the ability for the body to repair that damage. Which is why people will have chronically under-muscled. They're kind of like skinny fat. They have annoyed injury, like joints all the time, because they're exceeding their nutritional support. So when we know our nutrition isn't consistent, we would want to reduce the number of working sets. And that can help us better control the intensity and challenge of the training to better match our current state of health. So if we consider a full workout as written or as planned to be what we would do if we had a 100% healthy body. Well, if I'm coming into that workout without a 100% healthy body, I don't want to do 100% of that workout. I want to bring that workout volume and intensity down. So in her template, I gave her allowance to have between 2 to 5 working sets on her main exercises. So if she's really behind in food, really behind in sleep, maybe just 2 working sets per exercise, move on for the day. If she's eaten well, but maybe it's not, 100% perfect, just a good day or two, she could do 3 or 4 working sets per exercise. If she's been doing great, sleep is great, eating well for a good full week or two, then maybe she'll work up to 5 working sets per exercise. Now, for her program, she has a movement preparation circuit, which is the corrective therapy stuff. And then she has a circuit of 3 exercises, 1 large main lift, 1 medium intensity lift, and then 1 still intense, but usually lighter weight loaded movement. So if we're only doing 3 movements as the main circuit, it would make sense that if we did 5 sets per exercise, that's actually 15 working sets in the workout. That's still a pretty good volume. That's not astronomically insane. But again, if she feels like crap, she would just do 2 or 3 sets per exercise and move on for the day. But having that allowance to adjust workout intensity depending on the quality of health that we're bringing to that workout makes sense. So when we're feeling overwhelmed, how we can adjust nutrition and training in order to make it more simple. As we said, for nutrition, the tips are to eat early, aim for 3 meals a day, and to hydrate. If and when you're ready to track your food in whatever capacity you can, you only have to track it in 6-hour time blocks, and we want to use repeating meals. So that way you don't have to continually add them into an app all the time. You don't have to look up numbers all the time. You looked it up once, you know it's good, you just eat that meal option. So 2 to 3 options per meal, and then just pick from those meals as much as you can. That really simplifies the nutrition and makes that a lot easier. For training, we want to use templates. Understand the category that each exercise represents. And then you can substitute with exercises that are less confusing and or require less of a setup or are less intense. So that way you can better match how you feel for that day. We want to include corrective therapies into our workout warm-ups. So that way we can adjust for any muscular tightnesses and kind of make sure our body can move in a healthy manner. Then we want to adjust our workout volume based on our nutrition and kind of our stress. If I'm coming into the workout less than my best, I want to do a little less than 100% of what that workout is. So I would reduce the working sets to better match how I feel that day. So those are some helpful tips. Hopefully if you're struggling with any of these issues, you can use these tips and that'll help things go a little smoother for you. If you have any questions, if you need anything, you can always reach out on the website. The website is www.brutalirongym.com. We have free nutrition information, training information. We have our podcast on there, which you can always use to find older podcasts if you want to check those out. A ton of information. We also have our services listed on our website as well, so you can check that out if you would like. Again, it's www.brutalirongym.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.